this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry, episode 60. Can you believe that? I am Dr. Martin Mendelson, one of your hosts, a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, thought leader, and author. And I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who's a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And if you're unfamiliar with us, we certainly invite you to check out our respective links, websites, and course offerings on wellnessindentistry.com. And if you enjoy the content that we provide each and every week, you can come join us in person this coming August 8th and 9th, where we have our Lightside Live in-person workshop for dental well-being and wellness. And actually, today, that's what we're going to be focusing on is key takeaways from our last two-day mental wellness course. So super excited to kind of debrief and unpack all of the exciting things that we learned. So how you doing, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm doing great. You know, these courses that Martin and I give in person are our favorite days of teaching of the year. And that says a lot because we do a lot of days of teaching a year.
That's true.
But yeah. This is a time, first of all, it's 2 days. So we get to really dive deep. Yeah. We get to really know our colleagues, the other participants that are in there. In this case, it was all doctors. Sometimes we have hygienists or front office team members, but this time it was all doctors and from all over the country and from all over North America, actually, because we did have some Canadians as well.
Yep.
And I think one of the best takeaways is that we're all going through the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, we hear this all the time, that just knowing that they are not alone in their struggles is one of the biggest things that people take away from the course. Now, of course, there's a bunch of frameworks and talking points and mindset shifts and these kind of things that we talk about. But I think one of the big things people take away is, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one dealing with a staff member that comes in late, a patient that doesn't want to pay their bill on time or is, you know, is complaining to my front office. So there's something about knowing that you're not the only one going through a challenging problem.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting, though, that that's just a humanistic experience? I mean, think about it. Any kind of challenge or many challenges, rather, and circumstances in life, you know, even things such as addiction, where people think, I'm the only one, nobody else has these problems. It's just, it's kind of this ubiquitous human experience that we default to. It's just me and I need to, you know, suck it up and deal with it. Well, it's actually quite the opposite. And you're right. I think the other thing we've seen over and over again, there's always at least one person in the class that didn't come under duress, certainly, because obviously they didn't have to, but they came either not understanding what it was about or in some cases being told to come by a spouse or dentist partner. And they end up, those are usually the ones that say, this is one of the best experiences I've had in CE, which I also find very interesting because it's become a defined pattern. Like you can't.
Yeah, we hear this all the time. And I wonder if it's because it's just so different.
Yeah.
Every other CE course, you know, and we're not here to say, oh my gosh, our CE course is so great. It is great. Trust us. Yeah. It is great. But I think it's just very different. There aren't courses like this. So you have everybody's needs met in the clinical realm, right? I mean, you can find a clinical course on 3D printing, chairside milling, digital smile design, prepping better, margins, mm-hmm. impressions, digital dentistry, whatever you want. You can find now practice management courses as well on growing your practice, you know, going from 2 to 3 locations, building a new office from scratch. I mean, any kind of practice management you can find, but all the things that are in between those, right? So the clinical, but the communication to get to the clinical, or the practice management, but the actually management of the staff and the mindset shifts and the communication patterns, all of that was what was missing that we then created and started. And I think that's what it is. It was like, there's something out there that people need that wasn't being met. And I don't even think that we knew that much until we started giving this time and time again. Now we've given it multiple times, and we keep hearing the same thing. Like, this is the best course I've taken in my entire 20 years, 30 years of dentistry. And what I find so interesting too is that we didn't just have GPs in this, most of our courses. I mean, in this last course, we had pedo specialists, we had oral surgery. Did we have any other specialists?
Not in this one.
Not in this one, yeah. But there's people of all different walks of life, right? You have high-end cosmetic-based practices, you have lower-end, faster kind of practices that are even taking like Medi-Cal and things like that. You have oral surgery that, in this particular case, this doctor, he had some partners, some business partners too. So you have people that are single practice owners, you have people that have multiple locations, you have people that have partners, have just one location. But it's all the same thing.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It's all
And
the same problems.
and it's every practice is unique because it's comprised of unique human beings, yet the commonality of the humanistic experience is what draws us all together. And your very specific experience may be different, but they all follow along similar themes, right? So it's like you maybe think you're having team challenges. Well, so is all these other people. Now they might have different nuances, but that's one of the benefits of coming together as a group to actually lean on each other and say, you know what, I went through this before. This is how I handled it. Or, well, that it didn't exactly happen to me. This is what happened, and this is what we did. And those kind of offhanded moments in some cases can be even more impactful than the curriculum itself.
Well,
So,
that's what's a great thing about any course that I think is longer format, like a day or 2 days or 3 days or something like this. This course happens to be 2 days, that you can really go on tangents. You're not in a rush. If someone has a story they'd like to tell, if someone has a specific question, Martin and I have a ton of topics and things that we can go into. So we do go down those rabbit holes and work specifically with each person. And it's fun how you have, like what you said, where someone comes with a problem and maybe they say it out loud in front of the class, and someone else pipes in and said, you know, I had a staff member that did that. This is what I went through. I know there was someone that was going through some legal battles in this last one, which we have in almost every course, unfortunately. But it gives people the feeling of, I'm not alone. Now we're all going to learn things together. And what we do find in these courses is that people stay in touch, they check in on each other, and they create this community because they all went through something. Our courses tend to be emotional. Martin and I both cry almost every course, because we've been through shit. We've been through hard times with burnout and addiction and litigation and relationship changes and shame and guilt. And Martin and I, as you know, if you listen to this podcast, are very vulnerable in that way and tell our stories. And I think this allows the group to then bond on the vulnerability because many of them come with very vulnerable stories.
And not to make it even sound like it's some kumbaya experience, because here's the thing. Everybody ends up sharing to their level of comfort.
That's right.
And you start to notice patterns too, like certain classes are more vocal than other classes. And within a given class, certain individuals are more talkative than others. I'm not telling anybody listening anything they don't already know. And so again, it's just all part of the human experience. And so it's interesting how dentistry is slowly starting to shift toward these type of topics. 'Cause the other interesting thing that I've noticed is, I've been very blessed to have had invitations to pretty large dental meetings. And so, particularly with my happiness keynote, the science of happiness keynote, I'll have scouts from other big meetings come up to me over and over and over again and say, that was one of the most amazing keynotes I've ever heard. We'd like to invite you to the X Dental Society meeting. And then I hear nothing from them. And I'm convinced it's because they really liked what they saw. Then they bring it back to the committee, and the committee goes, oh, is it clinical? Oh, it's not clinical? Why would we have this guy in? And it's funny to me. It's funny. It's sad, but funny all at the same time.
Well, I mean, this happened to me early on, especially from 2018 when I started talking about this, really until 2021, was I had that same thing where, I was getting invited to speak in many places, and then they would say, "Well, send me your topics." And I would always put the mental health topic at the top. And, or my speaking coordinator, and she would say, like, "This one's really great and it's really powerful." And they'd be like, "That's cool, but like we really want something clinical, or in this specific symposium, we talk about all clinical." And I'm thinking, like, it's clinical. It gets to clinical. This is what allows you to do clinical dentistry, right?
Because if it's like you say all the time, reminding everybody of what they say every time you get on an airplane, put on your oxygen mask first. And so if you don't acknowledge the fact that you have to take care of yourself first, well, you're going to end up having a problem because we're not machines. We can't keep going burning both candles at both ends or candle at both ends and expect that to be sustainable. And it just isn't. And I actually saw a post yesterday by a dental technician that was really expressing concern over dentistry and just certain the thing, I think it was a he, that he has been observing. But he made a comment that really stuck out to me that I want to get back to. I just didn't have the time yesterday. And he was talking about the fact that so many are only working 2 to 3 days a week. And I thought to myself, well, there's a reason for that. Like, because the thrust of his concern, which is valid, is certain individuals seem to be more deviating toward profitability and the business element of it and so forth. And look, we need to run profitable enterprises or else it's not sustainable. So I'm not against running a practice as a business, quite far from it. His point was, in his observation, we're skewing more toward profitability than patient care. But then when he was making the point about efficiency and only working 2 to 3 days a week, I thought to myself, no. That can be a completely different animal. And that's what I'm at. And I know you are too. That's what we're in favor of. We're in favor of running a predictable, well-organized, systematic practice that can optimize profitability so that we don't wear out our bodies and our minds. And so I think we need to be careful how we look at patterns and trends through a too broad of a lens, basically.
Yeah, well, I think that people that hear you say what you just said, not knowing our histories, could assume that we don't care about high quality treatment when that couldn't be further from the truth. Martin, I mean, leading at Spear for almost 15 years. I mean, if you're in North America, Spear, COIS, Panky, these are the top. I mean, the top style of dentistry that you can do. And, with me, I had some of the best mentors in the world on high quality clinical dentistry. I mean, we both come from a very high quality clinical dentistry background, but that is the foundation, right? You have that foundation. But then once you get that foundation, you have to go further. You can't just do clinical. So I think people could hear you or I say, we want efficient businesses with little stress, maximizing profitability, minimizing output, let's say, and say, oh, so they're just like trying to make as much money as possible, working as little as possible. And that could not be further from the truth with how we both practiced and how we teach now.
I don't think I've ever told this story on the podcast. Maybe I have, but if I have it, it's been a long time. One of the things that struck me early in my tenure at Spear was that there was a time for the first, I'd say almost 50% of my total tenure, I went to every single seminar and every single workshop.
Wow.
So I worked a lot. And as you might imagine, there were a lot of docs who became personal friends. And so we would go out to dinner because they were in town. And those who know I'm a foodie and I like to be plugged in all the restaurants and stuff. And so we'd go out to dinner and then the check would come. And my assumption is we were going Dutch, right? And they would pick up the check and they would insist on paying. And I would look at them and I'd go like, what are you doing? And they're like, no, I want to pick it up. And depending on the friendship level, I'd be like, you pay my salary, right? Like, what do you and over and over and over again, they would get teary-eyed and they go, you don't understand what Spear, the institution, has done for my life. And these are people that embraced a framework of facially generated treatment planning. They were more systematized. They were working less, doing more comprehensive dentistry, making more money, and happier than they'd ever been. And those were sort of the ones that implemented. We'll put that as a big asterisk there. That's another topic. But it's true. You can implement, be more efficient, et cetera. And in today's reality, you can't forget the other side of the coin, which is the stuff that we talk about all the time.
Yeah, and I think it's a good example because we've had many of those doctors from Spear that know you, or some that have gone to COIS, or that are incredible dentists. I mean, you're talking about the 1% from a clinical standpoint, doing digital smile design, facially generated treatment planning, incorporating multidisciplinary treatment with orthognathic and ortho and perio and pros and everything, airway driven, like incredible clinical dentists, but are suffering in their practice, suffering because they don't have the mental resilience, they don't have the clinical, or sorry, the communication skills. They don't know how to set boundaries. They don't know how to talk to patients about complications. They know how to talk to patients about treatment planning, right? But they don't know how to talk to patients about setting expectations and boundaries, and their team member that's showing up late, and their lab technician that keeps giving them the case too late, or something like this. And so that's when, if you have that foundation of great clinical skills, I mean, these dentists can kick ass because they already have this foundation of great treatment planning, great clinical skills. And then you add on the mental resilience, you add on the communication patterns. Oh my gosh, these people kill it in our profession. And they work less, they make more, their patients are happier, their team is happier, their family is happier, they're healthier, they have more longevity. I mean, that's what most of us want, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit more about what it is we do, because if you're unfamiliar with Lightside Live, the name of our course, you might be wondering, okay, so all right, this sounds a little interesting, but people may not understand what it is. So why don't you kind of give a description of what it is we do?
Yeah, well, basically, I was giving my Lightside course, which is my online research-based course, helping dentists manage their mental and relational health. And then Martin and I met on a Zoom call during the pandemic when everybody was losing their minds, including us,
Including us.
and started talking, became good friends, and realized that he had exercises and frameworks and workshops for every aspect of my ripple theory, which is my research-backed theory on how to go from burnout to thriving. And so we started doing this and created these courses, and it just really worked. I mean, we had doctors from around the world take it. And so it's a 2-day course, it's 12 CE credits, and we do it about twice a year now. We do it currently in Southern California. We have done it in Milwaukee one time specifically because a group wanted to bring us out there. And we have some other people that may be bringing us out to different areas this next year. But really, it's taking all of my experience with burnout and all the research that I've both published and read and boiled down, and Martin's history with His certifications in happiness studies and his coaching experience, and all really a lot of what he did at Spear too, with helping people grow their practices, and brought this all together. And so it's something different in dentistry in that we are always talking about dentistry in the course, but it's from a different lens. It's yes, we're talking about your hygiene schedule, but we're talking about it more of setting expectations around it, about boundaries around it, about communicating around it, maximizing efficiency. So I like to talk to it as practice management based on mental health, not practice management, how most people teach it, which is based on making more money. Now, the side effect is most of the time that the people that take our course and that do our coaching and do our online courses and that kind of stuff, they make more money. But that's not what we're here teaching you. We're teaching you how to manage your practice with your mental health as number one.
Absolutely. And I think when you start out by saying it's some of our favorite days of the year, which is a zillion percent true. And for me, at least, as a trained facilitator, Jen Barley and Karen Sullivan were my mentors, and they were so exquisite in training me to be a facilitator. And so they would go through something with us as a group that they were training, and then they would go, okay, pause. And then they're like, okay, so let's peel the onion back. We actually never intended to do this, but we did that because somebody else said that. And so we just kind of pivoted. So one of my favorite elements of this is actually hanging out with you and then ducking and weaving as we need to, based upon what the people in front of us need, to then create a what ends up being a truly customized experience around a framework of research that's super fun. And for anybody listening who does teach, it becomes more of a relaxed experience for us too, because we don't put the pressures on ourselves. We certainly have goals, and there are certainly things that we need to cover as core concepts. But if we don't get to this exercise on leadership characteristics because we need to spend more time here because that's what y'all need, great, that's what we do. And so it's so fun. And I don't know about you, but when we're done with the 2 days, I want to take a nap for
Oh
three
my gosh, I'm exhausted.
days.
Yeah. But that's why we have what you just said, I think, is why we have so many alumni that come back. So we have people that have taken it three times, two times, people that come back and keep taking it. And you think, well, they're taking the same course, right? No, but every course is different because of what Martin just talked about, how we taper it to who are these, 20 people in front of us. And what do they need? What do we dive deeper into? What can we maybe skirt by or do quickly in this case? Because this group may not need it. One of the interesting takeaways for me is what people resonate with, what they take away. At the end of each day, we usually do a little recap. What's something big you're going to take away from today? And then we do one at the end of the second day, too. What's something big you're going to take away from day two and from the entire course? And there's things that I will honestly say fairly quickly because I don't think they're that important. And that's the takeaway that someone takes away from the 2 days. And so it's like you never know what our colleagues are going through. You never know what's going to impact them the most. And I'm always surprised by that. I mean, how is that for you when we do the.
No, I would agree. And it was very funny when we first started talking way back about offering the ability of alumni to come back. And because I was thinking, even with my Spear days, somebody would come up to me and say, did Dr. Spear change that lecture? I'm like, no. And they're like, he's never done that before. Yes. And the literature shows that we only remember about 20% of any course we take or lecture we take. So if you think about it, 2 day course, four sections, 2 mornings, 2 afternoons, that's less than a whole morning that you would potentially remember. So, in a lot of ways, it makes sense to me that people come back because it is so different. And for many, it can be very groundbreaking and eye-opening. I mean, shoot, we had one of our docs a couple classes back who ended up firing a toxic team member while he was at the course.
Day one, yeah.
Day one,
He
he
came
was
back
like,
day two
nope.
and said, yeah, I just
I actually just met with them the other day, and it was a challenging point in this individual's life, and they were able to kind of move forward based upon our teachings and also their own implementation, right? Nobody does the work for you. And so I think that's super exciting. But yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I think that's been my surprise in the totality of my teaching career too. You never know what people are gonna resonate with, like, dislike, that's or what specific thing they pick up on. That continually surprises me in a good way. So.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we do is it's in our step two of the Ripple framework, which is the identify module, is I go through and briefly talk about some of the biggest triggers that most dental professionals have in their life, right? And there's over 18 that we've come up with together and through our community. But I go over just a few, right? And it doesn't take very long. I mean, that section is maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes, something like this. And I remember at the end of day two, there was someone that said that one of the biggest takeaways was actually not one of the ones that I expanded on, but just one of the triggers that I put up on the screen of the 18. And I remember this person saying, that really was a wake-up call for me. And it goes to show, and I've had this experience before too, is we have these unknown unknowns. We have these things in our career and in our lives that we think are causing the problem, but many times it's an unknown unknown that you just need someone to show you that it's there, and you go, oh my gosh, that is what's causing this specific problem. And once you have the awareness, or once you realize that this is a problem, which is the first step in our framework that we discuss, you can then gain the skills, gain the knowledge, gain whatever you may need to get in order to combat that specific problem. And so many people that have taken this course in the past, it's their first experience with personal growth. It's their first non-clinical CE course, right? And a lot of those doctors, it's just 2 days of awareness. Yes, they're getting the frameworks. Yes, they're getting the communication patterns, et cetera. But I think they leave with just the awareness that is the biggest step of any.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, some classes are more talkative than others. Some individuals are more talkative than others. It's pretty wild. Because one of the things we did this past time that really resonated with people was we asked them to kind of rate the triggers that they identified with, and then what are they going to do about it and by when? And that was really impactful for some people because it was kind of putting their money where their mouth is, so to speak. It's like, okay, so if this is really bothering me, then what am I going to do about it?
Can
Because the
you expand on why you would ask them by when?
Yeah, so this is really fascinating. There's research out of a university in California that talks about goal setting. And so, and these are average numbers, of course. If you write down a goal, you're about 46% more likely to achieve said goal.
Which we have them do.
Yes. If you create some form of social accountability with a friend, a colleague, study club, a friend you made at a course, you're now upwards of 65% more likely to achieve said goal. If you then therefore take the third step to set a deadline, their research showed you're upwards of 95% more likely to achieve said goal than just by sitting there ruminating about it, keeping it to yourself, not thinking about when you want to do it, which I think is pretty groundbreaking. I also think, as a coach, I've thought a lot about this because I find it fascinating, to be honest with you. And just the idea of setting a goal really makes you think around plausibility and possibility, and then get your mind thinking into, okay, so if I really want to do this by X date, then what do I need to do to get there? Whether you're thinking that granularly or not, it kind of forces your mind into that place. So it's a huge part of any life goal is to get some help.
I mean, setting that date. I have done that in the past. I mean, when I gave my first launch of my program, my online program, I had to do this. And I had to say, whether it's ready or not, this is when I'm launching it, right? Now, surprise, surprise, it was ready because I set the date. I told other people that I was doing this. I had partners that were helping me in this, whether it was recording things or getting things online. And I did it. And Martin and I do this all the time with each other too. Hey, we're gonna do this by this time, or and if it doesn't happen, we have the relationship where we can say, hey, you said you were gonna send me this podcast. I need to upload this or whatever it may be. And that keeps us accountable.
And I think it also opens your mind to other additional options. Like today, I'll give everybody a really good example. So I handle a lot of the like administrative sides of our course, and Kyle's the social media expert. And so I was gonna set up a series of emails to go to our alumni about our next course. And I was on vacation a week and a half back, and I'm leaving tomorrow for a conference. And I was like, Kyle and I committed to get this out into the ethos this week or next. Let me not make it as complicated right now. Let me just send out the first email manually because we committed to get this ball rolling. And so I think that's an example. I wrote down what it was I was going to do because I had the email texts, all of them already completed. There was social accountability with my business partner, this guy, and then we had talked about a deadline. And so when I'm looking at all of the stuff on my plate, I'm like, wait a minute, I need to get this out. So what's the best way that I can do this? Okay, doing it manually in this one case happens to be more efficient. So I'm going to get it done that way. And then I was able to text Kyle and go, done. But he knew that anyway because he was on the email. So
One of my favorite times in this course is the very end. The very end where we do our crucial conversations discussion. And for those of you that have been listening to this podcast, crucial conversations is a topic we talk about all the time. I think it's a big takeaway framework that I learned from Martin. It of course comes from a book called Crucial Conversations. Martin has changed that slightly, which I like. Actually, I like how he's changed it. And so what we do is on day one, we ask the doctors to think of a crucial conversation they need to have. This could be with a team member that is finishing prophys within 25 minutes when they have 50 minutes to do a prophy, or it is with a patient that is coming in late constantly or saying rude things to their team member, or it could be with your gardener or your neighbor or your spouse even. And then we practice these, we go through the framework, and we take something that tends to be nerve-wracking, clunky, and unplanned and make it something that has some kind of a framework. And I mean, there were some really, really good examples.
And there were examples with, children and siblings and all kinds of different things. And I love it when we get the familial examples, not because I think those are better, but here's what I do know. Talking to your son or sibling or parent is much more emotionally charged, almost by definition, than talking to a team member. So if you can overcome that with somebody that is that important to you, it's like the heavy, it's like when you're in the batter box and you got weights on the bat. It's the same idea. And it's the other reason why, for those that are willing, we ask them to share it out loud and get feedback from the rest of the group. Why? Because this is a skill like anything else that you haven't honed, most of us. And so how the heck do you expect to get any better if you don't actually practice it? So, as an educator, I'm a big believer in, okay, you're never going to grow if you're not at least a little uncomfortable. And so I don't go out of my way to make people uncomfortable. These are volunteers. But, everybody says the same thing. When I say, is this wonky? And they're like, yep. Right? Is it uncomfortable? Yep. How valuable was it? Oh my God, I never would have done this by myself, blah, 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 blah. So learning is growth, and growth can be a little uncomfortable at times. And so if you're really looking to kind of lean into that stuff, because many of these crucial conversations, as defined as, opinions vary, stakes are high, and opinions run strong, those are not easy to have. And so it should make sense that they're more challenging to learn how to overcome. in from a
And what
process.
most of us do is go off of our emotion, which tends to not work well in our favor. And we get into maybe blaming or saying things that aren't specifically factual, exaggerating. And this creates even more emotion from the other side. And the goal of these crucial conversations is to get through it because you care about this relationship. You want to keep this relationship, especially if it's your team member, if it's your patient, if it's your spouse. I mean, you want to keep these people in your life, right? But you also want to bring up something that is important and that needs to be said.
Because so many of us, go to work every day or come home every day, and there's some level of stress or angst because of things that are unsaid or are unhandled or undiscussed. And so, one of the important elements of crucial conversations as a foundation is the fact that this is not about telling somebody off. This is about an identified individual in your life that you want to grow the relationship with. You don't exactly know how, given what's going on in your life. And this framework I've used personally, I've used professionally, I know you have, so many people in the class have. It's become a core of my private coaching practice, to the point that I think from this point forward, I'm probably going to start just sending the book with every client that signs up to work with me because we always end up there every time,
Yeah.
every time.
I was just having this conversation with my friend. You know, our kids are really good friends, and we were at the beach sitting on beach chairs and we're discussing just our lives. And there was a crucial conversation he needed to have. And I was talking to him about it. You know, have you ever read this book? And no, we teach this in our course. And I kind of went through it quickly, but I think it was a little over his head because I went through it so quickly and there was no visuals. But it's not just for dentistry, it works very well in dentistry for sure. And I feel like as practice owners or associates or leaders in some way, if you want to be a leader in any way, shape, or form, you need to know how to communicate. And you need to know how to communicate well, especially when stakes are high.
And it's like you say all the time, and I love this. It's, dentistry is what we do, it's not who we are. And this year I've kind of had a theme around, what gets the patient, what happens in the chair when the patient's reclined and their mouth is open is 100%, 1,000,000% unique. But everything that gets them to the chair, gets them to say yes in the chair, and gets them to pay their bill and make another appointment after the chair isn't. It's all humanistic, behavioral, business, communication stuff that's all out there. We think what we do is so unique. No, it's not. I mean, again, it is when their mouth's open, but other than that, there is so much out there that I would never even in my lifetime have time to review the totality of everything that's out there. And so for those that start to embrace a tried and true methodologies and knowledge from other areas in this human world of ours, those are the ones that are ultimately successful, meaning find contentment in their life and happiness with where they are, what they're doing, and what their life has become.
Yeah, I think the final thing I'll say about this course is that it's funny how it always brings out amazing people. And maybe there's something to be said about people that want to do personal growth and are vulnerable enough to sign up for a course like this. I mean, everybody in there is so cool and so easygoing and driven and heart-centered and family-oriented and like, I don't know. It's just like the best of our colleagues every time.
Well, I think you're 100% right. Not only do I agree with your statement, my belief is just that it's not going to bring out somebody who isn't interested or invested in this stuff. I think it's also one of the reasons why so many of our alumni bring friends back
Yeah.
because A, they were invested to begin with. That's why they showed up the first time. But then they went through it and they're like, oh my gosh, wait a minute. So and so needs this. In fact, we did have, it wasn't an alumni, but this past course, we had actually two friends. They went to dental school and college together and they were roommates in dental school, maybe college as well. And, they came together as a first time. So I thought that was really kind of cool. And they don't even live that near each. Well, they live close, but not like referral close.
Yeah. So what are your final thoughts?
I'm horrifically biased, of course. And by the same token, I don't think our results can be ignored. And so we are human beings. And we're not human doings, we're human beings. And taking the time to take a step back, realizing you're not alone, understanding what some of the background from a research perspective is behind some of this stuff, and then leaving with tools that can help get you just that much closer to a life that feels much more like a comfortable sweater. Is a good day at the office. So I invite anybody to come join us.
And we are doing this again in August. So August 8th and 9th in Irvine, California at Glidewell Dental Labs. And thank you, Glidewell, for all the support over the last few years. They have been really big supporters on mental health and dentistry and helping us and allowing us to do this course at their facilities. And so, yeah, you can go to wellnessanddentistry.com, click on links, and you can find all the links to our Lightside Live course. We do have a early bird special going on for a few more weeks. So save, I don't know what it is, $150. Might as well, if you're going to come, save some money. And
It's a
if you
hotel night
know,
almost.
yeah, and if you know a colleague that you think may want to come with you, send this to them, have them listen to it. And we'd love to see both of you August 8th and 9th. If you're a listener of this podcast, you know that Martin and I are really passionate about this. We love doing this. We love helping others because we've been there. We've been through burnout. We've been through addiction. We've been through quitting, through injuries, through, all kinds of changes in our profession. And we love dentistry so much that we really want the profession to grow. And this is our best way of doing that. So thanks everybody for listening. And we hope to see you at Lightside Live. And if not, we'll see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry.
Take care.